Let's go to Rhéda Cronin, Sinn Féin TD from Kildare North. She's on the line again. Good morning, Rhéda.
Good morning, Owen.
We're going to talk shortly, Rhéda, about issues in Kilcock, but first of all, of course, have to ask you about your reaction to the news during the week about the lifting of the eviction ban. The Sinn Féin motion was unsuccessful. You didn't manage to garner the support that you wanted. I'm sure you're disappointed.
I was very disappointed, yes, but the independents got their 30 pieces of silver for stuff that the government are saying they were going to do already. I know they've upset Junior Minister Mary Butler. And listen, I honestly was disgusted. Like, I really am disgusted. You don't, as I said to you the other day, you don't have people crying in your office, crying to you on the phone, and it's not to affect you. This is, it's disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. Now, we're going back in next Tuesday with a bill, because they were all saying, no, this is a motion, this can have no effect. A bill, this is legislation we're going back in with next Tuesday, because the government might have forgotten about renters, but Sinn Féin hasn't. This isn't over. This is not over.
Okay, and I made the point earlier, I was speaking to Jed Nash, Labour TD for Louth. Of course, Labour are bringing forward a motion of no confidence in the government next week, which I'm sure Sinn Féin will support. But at the core here, we have people's lives, people's livelihoods, where they're living is the core issue. And while parties obviously have to stand up for what they believe in, do you not feel as though, Rhéda, bringing forward a bill next week would serve no purpose because of the motion that was brought forward this week being defeated? Like, independents and independent TDs and government backbenchers are not going to change their mind in the space of a week.
Well, a lot of the independents and the backbenchers said that, you know, our motion last week would have had no legislative impact and that they could disregard it for that reason. Well, we're putting it up to them this week, this coming week, that this does have a legislative impact, and they're going to have to put their, you know, vote and absolutely decide who they're standing by. Are they standing by a disgraceful government, or will they stand by the people? Everybody is disgusted by this. I was speaking to a landlord last night, late afternoon, who told me that he is disgusted, that he cannot believe that the government have lifted the eviction ban when there is nothing in place. The time for all these measures that they announced there last Tuesday was when the eviction, and we wanted them to bring these through when the eviction ban was in place. A government has actually voted to increase homelessness. They know this is, you know, all this week we've heard parents on the airways, holding back the tears. It's just appalling. It's hard to believe. Like, a government's job is to make citizens' lives easier. And we're back now to listening to them saying that they're able to make the hard decisions. We know that it was never a bother for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, indeed, to pretend that working against the people is a hard decision. Hard my eye.
Okay.
I'm raging. I'm fuming.
What about Nasa Horrigan of the Green Party, obviously going against the government? She's now been suspended by the Green Party for 15 months. Is there a possibility that other government TDs are looking at what the Green Party have done and thinking, well, I'm not going to go against the government because I don't want to be suspended by the party?
The idea of being suspended from your party for 15 months, the idea of having more people coming into your office in floods of tears, there's no contest. There's no contest there. There'd be no contest there for me.
Okay. You'll be supporting the Labour motion of no confidence, obviously?
Do you think I have confidence in this government? I certainly don't.
Right.
They've been in there too long. They're lazy. They're out of touch. They don't seem to care about the people. I have no confidence in this. Not an iota.
Okay, if we go to local issues, Rhéda, and already some of the messages are coming in relation to that lifting of the eviction ban, which we've covered in detail over the course of this week and last week. But in Kilcock, there's a long waiting list for junior infants at St. Joseph's School in the town. What's happening here?
Yes, this is more of it. The government's lazy approach to looking after and providing for the citizens. You know, we have 50 families now who have no school places, 50 children who have no school places in Kilcock, and the parents are exasperated by the copy and paste answers that the Department of Education are sending out to them as to why they can't send their child to the school that they can see from their kitchen window or their front door. And what comes back is that the schools are oversubscribed, as if this was some kind of over-exuberance on the part of the parents of these children in applying for too many places. This is under provision by the state. That's the reason why 50 children don't have the comfort of, before Easter now, of knowing they have a place to go to in Kilcock. I was talking to a parent there last night who has actually lost, they have lost their after-school care place in the creche because they weren't able to confirm that the child would be going to school in Kilcock. This has a real impact on families. And, you know, the department, I have always asked, you know, we have the information, we have the census, we know all about, you know, we know where the children are coming up, where we need to provide the schools. And there is a school due for Kilcock and Millerstown, and I have a question into the department about that. What's the status on that? But the department come back to me and they tell me that they, you know, as you know, the department divides the country into 314 school planning areas and utilises a thing called the Geographical Information System. Now, they use this, they call it the GIS, and they take their information from census, child benefit data, school enrolment data, and you know, residential development data as well used for this. It's not working. Oh, and it clearly doesn't work because they're not providing the schools in time for these children. 50 children should not be not have a place for Easter for next year now. And you right. know, they need to know. They need to make their plans. I was speaking to Father George in Kilcock there yesterday, and the letters are going out, and these letters are going to tell people that, you know, there's currently no school place for them. Now, I brought it up in the Dáil this week with the Taoiseach, and I also spoke to Josepha Madigan. I couldn't get Norma Foley. She, I don't think they run when they see me coming. But I was speaking to Josepha Madigan, and she said that she is confident that there will be places for all the children. But that's cold comfort to the parents who are receiving letters from right. St. Joseph's today.
Okay, and then if they do get a place in the school, Rada, it's on to the next problem, which is whether or not they get a place on a school bus.
Well, yeah, well, hopefully. Now, most of the people I've been speaking to are in the town, the village of Kilcock. So, yeah, but we have the school bus problem as well. And, you know, talking about the eviction ban, wouldn't you think that the two government TDs we have in North Kildare would have been able to get something for voting against the people there the other day? Because all I'm hearing back from Norma Foley is that they're not going to provide the extra school places, the bus scullier places for the parents of Rathcoffey and Strathen. And, you know, I said to you before, it's not rocket science. All they need is one more bus. They were able to do it in other areas. They're saying that some of the children, it's their third or fourth nearest school, where they're trying to go to. Mm. What the parents are telling me is that they were refused places in Clane and they were refused places in Selbridge. There is no closer school, and that Maynooth is the closest school they could get their children into. So it's just, listen, it's just, you know, the government isn't working. It's just not working. They're lazy. There's no hunger for them to be providing and making sure that they're providing the services that parents need.
Okay.
And it's time for change.
Okay.
You know, yeah, it really is, though.
That's Sinn Féin TD for Kildare North, Rada Cronin. We'll have to leave it there. I note as well that Patricia Ryan, your Sinn Féin colleague, has been in touch with us this morning as well to say this coming week will be another opportunity for Martin Hayden and Cathal Berry to do the right thing and to vote for the eviction ban to stay in place. And she says we'll see how that goes. Well, indeed we will. We'll keep on top of it here on KFM as well. But thanks indeed to Rada Cronin for joining us. And some of the messages coming in, May says, in France, they've almost closed down the entire country over the age of the pension. Just look at what we're putting up with here in Ireland. Shame on us, says May. Another one here says most TDs are landlords protecting their own pockets. Not sure if most are landlords, but certainly some are landlords indeed. Another one, can you please wish Kira Delahunty in Iron Hills and Suncroft a very happy birthday from all the family. She's in bed sick, supposed to have been gone away for her birthday but couldn't make it. Get better soon is the message. So Kira Delahunty in Suncroft, have a great day and hope you feel better soon.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, some more messages that have come in to us. Joanne says renters are paying the landlord's mortgage for them. At the end of the day, they still own that property when the mortgage has ended. The tax on the profits of that rental property is all they have had to pay for the benefit of that asset and the income they have gained from renting it. I'm not opposed to small or accidental landlords. They pay the same rates of taxes as the rest of us, but please cry me a river for portfolio landlords, you say. Joanne, the eviction ban needed to stay until other solutions are implemented. I have zero confidence this government have our best wishes at heart. Mick in Mead says, let's call a spade a spade. The shared government we've had to endure for the last few years have made mistakes we wouldn't expect children to make. They have successfully brought us and the country into situations that we wouldn't have dreamed of previously, according to Mick in Mead. Well, Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin is with us. And Fiona, I know you're here to talk about water issues identified in the Baroda Court area of Newbridge, but we've spoken to Jed Nash of Labour, we've spoken to Raida Cronin of Sinn Féin earlier this morning. The government here, in your view and your party, Fiona, Fianna Fáil, do you think a mistake has been made?
No, there's a few points I'd like to make about the housing situation, and I completely acknowledge it's a crisis, and like other public representatives on a day-to-day basis are dealing, and it is heartbreaking, with people who are on the housing list trying to find their own home. But just to give a few facts, and I honestly think this is really important in terms of putting everything into context. This year, we will deliver the highest number of social homes since 1975. 30,000 new builds were delivered last year. That's in 2022. That was up from 20,000 the year before. And last year, 33,000 first-time buyers were able to buy a home with the help of government, and that's been the highest since 2008. We've been dealing with undersupply from a decade. So it's really trying to play catch up. In terms of the eviction ban itself, to be fair, a number of different processes have been put in place to support people, and it has been phased out until June the 18th. It's not just going to happen on March 31st. But two points that I'd like to make, that I've been dealing with people, and I think it's important to note this, a number of couples that I've been dealing with over the last few months had saved really, really hard to get a deposit, because we all know how difficult it is. I rented for 16 years myself. I know what it's like to have to save and try and get a deposit and buy your own home. And people have had to move back to their own childhood bedroom. People have moved into mobile homes. There's been paying rent, etc.
Yeah.
Then sale agreed, right? The eviction ban came in. And what happened then was not just a situation where there was a long delay in terms of getting the house, because you could possibly manage that. Biggest problem was that banks started raising the mortgage rate that had been agreed at the time of the sale. And there was nothing, unless the banks were prepared to be empathic and compassionate Some of them are, to be fair. Some
okay.
are.
So you're happy enough that the housing ban was, or the eviction ban was lifted?
Well, what I'm saying is that there was other unintended consequences that were really impacting on other people. It was always only a short-term measure, and it's far more important. It was really pushing.
It's far more important to protect the landlords.
To put issues. No, I never said that. And what I'm giving you is an example of people who have managed to be able to save the deposit and buy, and their one particular couple, their mortgage has gone up by almost €200 a month because of the eviction ban. So what I'm saying is that it was not a perfect solution to suit everybody. So there's jigs and reels in terms of the roundabout.
Some of those figures as well, Fiona, I mean, like what government are saying is, okay, we built 30,000 social homes last year. That was up 20,000 on the year before. Mm-hmm. But like the year before, we were in the middle of a COVID-19 lockdown. So are we really comparing figures from 2022 to 2021?
Okay, but the point that I'm making also is I've compared figures to 2008 and to 1975. So, you know, which obviously is well pre-COVID. So, unfortunately, we've all had to deal with the fallout from COVID. But in terms of 30,000 is very significant. When you think back from 2011 to 2020, there was very little home building going on in the country. And that's what Dara O'Brien and this government is trying to deal with now.
Okay, if we go to issues then in Newbridge, and what's happening out in Baroda Court, that area?
Okay, well, there's been a lot of industrial zoning in this area, the area of Old Connell and Great Connell and Newbridge. And look, that zoning has been welcome and a lot of new businesses have started there. So that's providing a lot of employment in the area, but it has impacted on the water infrastructure in the area of Baroda Court, Connell Drive, in terms of particularly water pressure. And, you know, everybody listening in will be familiar that obviously we had a very big commitment, financial commitment of about €38 million in terms of the upgrading in relation to the wastewater infrastructure. And that was part of the Upper Liffey Valley sewerage scheme. And so a lot of, you know, sewers were upgraded and replaced. And we now have three new pumping stations. But this problem is just particularly around water pressure as opposed to wastewater. We haven't kept up to what we need, where we need to be at. So I have been in touch with Irish Water following a number of residents contacting me from that area. And they do accept that there is an issue, and they have agreed that they are going to provide extra infrastructure and new pipelines. But we do need a more substantial update, and we need timelines from Irish Water in relation to this, because they are admitting there's a high demand because of an overstretched supply, and they are looking at another supply coming from the 2 Mile House area. But it's not happening fast enough, and I suppose again it's going back to the situation where we have now a lot of building of homes in the Newbridge area. We have a lot of industry along, as it's called now, the Golden Mile. But Irish Water, absolutely, they're being well financed by government, by state, and in fact, also, to be fair, in terms of the conditions of the planning permissions that have been given to some of those new industries that have come in, there are conditions where an agreement has been made that those businesses will have committed the funding to Irish Water to help support that. So it's really Irish Water need just to prioritise this and put it at the top of their agenda.
Okay, that's the latest on that. Just before I let you go, there's a message in from another Fiona, actually, who's tuned in Monastrevin, and she says, could you please ask Fiona O'Loughlin, what is she going to say to people who come into her office saying that they're going to be evicted? So what would your response be, Fiona, if, say, a family came into your office, they're going to be evicted and they can't stay because this eviction ban has been lifted?
Look, I deal with issues like that every day, and absolutely
my heart goes out to people that are in that situation. And what I can do, all I can do there is try and help support them in terms of the local authority, in terms of that housing list, and try to reach out, as I have done, in terms of estate agents.
Okay, how long is the waiting list on the local authority list in Kildare?
It's long. Well, it's long. As you know, Owen, there is a point system. So people get points in terms of the number of years that they're on the list, if they're in the area where they are actually from themselves, depending on the number of children that they have. It's interesting, too, just to make this point, that in Dublin, that they did a survey in terms of why people are becoming homeless. And by far the biggest response is because of relationship breakdown.
Right.
So, you know, people are becoming homeless for different reasons.
I want to go back to the waiting list. Back to the waiting list, though, because would I be right, and this is a figure coming to my head now from previous chats I've had, in Athy, I think the waiting list is 10 or 12 years for the housing list in the Athy area. So if somebody comes into you and say, we're being evicted from our rented accommodation in Athy, you would say, we'll put you on the housing list there in Athy, which is 12 years long.
What you will find, Owen, that most people, a lot of people that are in a rent situation, actually are on a housing list, the housing list already. So many of the people that I've been dealing with actually have been on the housing list for quite a number of years and are close to being prioritised. But just to say, you know, that it's not just obviously about people who are on the social housing list. There are people who are earning too much money to be on that. And the government are preparing legislation in terms of having a cost rental backstop so that local authorities or AHBs will be able to step in and buy possibly the house they're in. And I've had, even though that's not in legislation yet, I have had some dealings with the local authority where that has happened, where a landlord wants to sell a house for whatever reason. And we have to accept that, you know, and by the way, I am absolutely not a landlord myself, but we have to accept that sometimes, you know, people's circumstances change in terms of being a landlord and they may have to sell. But the local authority has absolutely stepped in and bought some of these homes as well, and the tenants have been able to stay. And what government are trying to do at the moment is to formalise that in full legislation. But I have found Kildare County Council very good in relation to stepping in and doing exactly that.
All right, on that issue and indeed the water issues identified out in the Great Connell and Baroda Court area of Newbridge, that's Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin. Thanks for your time, Fiona, and good morning. So back to some of the other messages that are coming in to us. My mortgage has also gone up €300 per month. Government aren't bending over backwards to help me. Why are landlords the priority over children facing homelessness and ordinary homeowners, asks Fiona. Tom has been in touch to say, since our last conversation concerning the lighting in Lakeside Park in Newbridge, I've not heard one word from the local councillors here in Newbridge about it since. It's the same old story. It's just put on the back shelf and forgot about. That comes in from Tom O'Riordan in Lakeside Park, who's looking for public lighting in the estate there in Newbridge. And also there's one here saying, can you ask her why there's no help for people trying to build homes on family-owned land, as this would also take people off the housing list? Well, I think she referenced that point as well, but also the waiting lists here in Kildare are very, very long. As I said, in Athy, the waiting list on the housing list is between 10 and 12 years. Now, news breaking that I see online here, the investigation into the disappearance of Annie McCarrick 30 years ago has been upgraded to a murder inquiry. The American woman who lived in Sandymount in Dublin was aged 26 when she went missing on the 26th of March 1993. Miss McCarrick, who was from Long Island in New York, had been studying and working in Ireland for a number of years. Despite a number of reported sightings and extensive searches, No trace of her has ever been found. Today, the investigation team at Irish Town Garda Station announced that the missing person inquiry has now been reclassified as a murder investigation. Gardaí say the decision to upgrade the inquiry is based on the entirety of the information available to the investigation team at Irish Town Garda Station to coincide with the 30th anniversary of her disappearance this weekend. Gardaí have also renewed their appeal for information. Annie McCarrick was an only child and her father John passed away in 2009. Senior officers have recently visited her mother Nancy in New York to update her on the investigation. So that is breaking news this morning. The investigation into the disappearance of Annie McCarrick 30 years ago has been upgraded to a murder inquiry. And finally, before we take a break and when we come back, we'll be focusing on the local sport. I'd like if you could please play a request for Francis Stoney and Elizabeth Bell on their 13th wedding anniversary today, and that comes in from the Phantom Ford Club. So Francis Stoney and Elizabeth Bell, have a great day. 13 years married.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, I just had a phone call there during the break from a listener who says it's no harm that the eviction ban is being lifted because landlords are getting their houses broke up. 20,000, 30,000 euro worth of damage is being carried out, and all that I seem to be doing is trying to be the nice guy and talking about how it's going to affect renters. Let me be very, very clear on this, okay? Anybody who damages property or defaces property or anything like that is completely in the wrong. What I'm saying is that if the eviction ban, or what I, to be honest with you, I'm just putting the question to the TDs here and to the senators. If the eviction ban was to be lifted, should measures not have been put in place from government and from other representatives so that those who are going to be put out of the houses had somewhere to go? I'm not on any particular side on whether or not, you know, because I understand the position that landlords are in. And I've mentioned that on the show, if that listener had been tuned in over the last few days. I've mentioned that on the show. What I'm saying is, those people that are being made homeless, do they have anywhere to go? Or what are public representatives saying when these people are coming to their offices? So that's the view. If you have renters or tenants who are in a particular household and they are causing damage to the facility and to the house, well, absolutely that's wrong. But that has to be dealt with in isolation, I'm sure. But this here, what we're talking about is the lifting of the eviction ban. Families, where are they going to go? But appreciate the call anyway, and thanks for getting in touch with us. Joining me now is Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader Sports Editor. Good morning to you, Tommy, and thanks for taking our call again this morning.
Morning, Owen.
Looking ahead to a busy weekend, and it'll be a little bit of an emotional weekend, I'm sure, in St. Conleth's Park, Tommy, with the last game being played there before the stadium's redevelopment. First of all, let's focus on the field, Kildare against Meath. It's another big game, but Kildare, of course, helped now after winning against Limerick last week.
Yeah, it is indeed, Owen. Final game in the league in Division 2, round 7. Kildare winning last week took pressure off as regards worrying about relegation or not. Even as Glenn Ryan said after the match, this was all about winning. It was all about the result, and Kildare got the result that they wanted and they needed. But leaving that aside, it wouldn't have been what I call a major improvement in performance. In fact, they were a little bit fortunate. Limerick were a little bit unlucky. The chance they had three or four goal chances. I remember Kevin O'Callaghan blocking down one, Mark Donnan blocking another, and one or two chances that should have hit the target and that didn't. But having said that, Kildare were in front from the word go. They looked to be, I wouldn't say cruising, but looked to be in control, and then conceded two goals and put them under a little bit of pressure at the end, and then that final back heeler from Derek Irwin, put 6 points in it in the end.
Okay, I mean, going into this weekend then, Tommy, Kildare's Division 2 status is confirmed, because even if results don't go their way, they'll finish ahead of Clare thanks to a head-to-head and that victory that they had against Clare down in Cusack Park in Ennis. Something about the games, though, between Kildare and Meath down through the years, Tommy, always have that added bit of fire.
Oh, yeah, it's great. There's a great rivalry that has been down the years between Clare and Meath. And I'd say there'd be a decent meet crowd there as well. And you know, I mean, these games, you can go back to the famous, the infamous three-game Leinster semi-final going back to the 90s. And also, at every level, from minor up to under 21 up to senior, there's always been great rivalry with Kildare and Meath. And this will be no different. Meath are in the same boat as Kildare in the sense that their status for next year is assured as well. But like Kildare, they're not guaranteed that they play in the All-Ireland Series. Of course, at this stage, everybody seems to be forgetting about the Leinster Championship. That has to come before any All-Ireland Series. But anyway, we won't know the makeup of the All-Ireland Series, 16 people and the others going to the Tailteann Cup, until the eight provincial finalists are known. But if whoever wins on Sunday would be fairly sure that they would get into the All-Ireland Series. And while the team that's beaten is not guaranteed to go into the Tailteann Cup, it is a possibility.
OK, let's hear from manager Glenn Ryan speaking after that win against Limerick.
It's a great game to have from the point of view there is a lot at stake. It's a great platform going into the Championship. It's still one game that we have to go and win. If there wasn't anything at stake, I still would have said it would be a hugely important game from the point of view of trying to give us a bit of impetus going into the Championship. Plenty of memories that come down with it, but it's, you know, it's time to move on, and Newbridge was our home. It'll still be our home, and the atmosphere will still be great.
The final game before the redevelopment of that main stand at St Connolly's Park. Tommy, lots of great memories up there in the sometimes freezing cold press box, but it's time now for that change, isn't it? Long overdue.
It's long, long overdue, Owen, as you know yourself. I mean, St Connolly's Park down the years, I mean, it has been an embarrassment in recent times. I mean, when you haven't got something as something like Wi-Fi, I mean, people coming from the north, the counties come and visiting from the north, from the south, from the west, and the first thing the lad would ask you, what's the Wi-Fi code, you know? I mean, talk about being embarrassed. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can remember the time we used to go up the north and we'd be on the back of a lorry. Now, there was no such thing as Wi-Fi back then, but these days, I mean, something as vital as Wi-Fi, as you know yourself, match reports and quick results and snippets of games are gone out on the wires before the players are even in the dressing room. So look, Newbridge is so in need of a revamp, and just hopefully, you know, that the big bulldozers arrive here on Monday, and it gets underway, and it doesn't run into any hitches over the next 18 months. Really looking forward to it. Hope I'm still alive to see it anyway. That's the main thing.
I'm sure you will be, Tommy. No doubt about that. But some great memories at the county grounds down through the years.
Ah, yeah. Look at those great memories. I mean, they're not all good ones, though. They're not all good memories, but they're all memories. Look, for me, the biggest one, the greatest one of all, has to be 2018 and the Newbridge Here Nowhere scenario. I mean, that was a day to remember. The whole build up to that. When that third round qualifier was drawn, Mayo against Kildare first out of the hat, which they were entitled to a home venue, and then Croke Park stepped in and said, no, it's Newbridge's not big enough. And then the whole thing, that it blew up. It was national news, television cameras were down, local papers, national papers. And I remember Keane O'Neill was the manager that day. Keane was interviewed on the 6 o'clock news on RTE, and he said, well, Mayo might go to Croke Park, but we'll be here in St Connolly's Park. It's Newbridge Here Nowhere, and they stood their ground. And in fairness, I have to say, it was nice enough the players backed up Keane O'Neill. The county board rode in behind him then. But I felt that the whole county got in behind Kildare, and not alone that, but I also felt that the majority of the country got behind Kildare, because it was looked upon as a kind of a David versus Goliath scenario where Croagh Park were wielding the big stick, making a lot of threats, making a lot of big names coming out saying, right, your major protest now is trying to fold your tent and head up to Croagh Park. But in fairness, Kildare held their ground, and rightly so. And then to make it better, of course, won the match. I remember when the final whistle, that was a derby day, the same day as the derbies in the Curragh, same day. And when the final whistle went that day, the crowd came out onto the pitch. You think it was after winning the All-Ireland. But it was magic, it really was. And of all the good days and the bad days, that's the one that I'll always remember anyway.
Absolutely, and the redevelopment to get underway now very, very shortly after that game against Meath. Of course, KFM will be broadcasting live from the county grounds, and we'll have full commentary of the game with Ger McNally and Peter McConnon in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Two other games at the weekend, Tommy, to mention these. The ladies footballers are playing against Wexford in Division 3 of the National Football League, and the Camogie side are in a Division 3A semi-final against Carlow tomorrow.
Yeah, that game against Carlow was up in Abbottstown. I'm not sure why it's in Abbottstown, but anyway, it's moved to Abbottstown. That's a biggest game too for Joe Craig's girls. Had a good win last week, and as you said, it's a semi-final. There's not many counties playing in this division of the league, but that makes no difference. You're in it, and you want to win it, and hopefully they can get over the line. And then on Sunday, I often wonder why the ladies not. Well, this isn't a double header in St. Collins Park. I mean, the Camogie girls played before the last Kildare match in Newbridge. And now, it wasn't ideal because the hurlers had to do a lot of stretching and everything upstairs in the bird's nest, as we call it, due to a lack of space and dressing rooms being taken up. But it's an awful shame that it's a vital game for the ladies. Top of the table they are at the minute. A winner, a draw will do them to qualify them for the league final. And they're out in Hawkfield at the same time as the final matches on in Connors Park.